Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where every single thing we do, we say, we express aims to support you. Yes, fucking you, my man. Become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Today's episode, it comes off the back of some self-care bath time that I had there in the last, the last 3 or 4 days. Got myself one in the mornings, just poured myself a lovely hot bath, just was feeling aches and pains and doing lots of DIY work and exercise work. Needed a bit of time to myself. And as I sank into that beautiful hot bath, tending to my own needs, my self-care routine, radical self-care, what the fuck else would a man put on when he's sitting into a bath? It's like, you know, I put on John Gottman, a TED talk of his on YouTube. I started listening to that. And John Gottman, to those of you who aren't in the know, is like the great granddaddy of marital therapy in the States. He's like an absolute badass in what he has done. He has brought like a scientific, rigorous, research-based approach to, you know, proving what works in marriage to transform marriage, etc., etc. So, I mean, there was listening in the bath. And of course, you know, I listened first and foremost for me. I want to be a great husband, a great man in relationship, a great dad. And I know every single one of you listening in, you know, that's why you listen in. You could be listening to fucking any other podcast on the planet, but you're listening in now. So in that space, you know, yourself, myself, there are no differences. And I want you guys to get this. I get guys, you know, coming on calls and, hey, I appreciate there's this sort of a psychology. And I have related with guys before previous like that, where it's like, oh, you know, Mark is the podcast host and he's the leader of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. He does one-on-one coaching and whatever. And I get guys coming on calls sort of like it, they literally sort of laugh saying, man, it's like sitting with a celebrity. And hey, I get the psychology behind that. In this profoundly sick society, we sort of project onto people that come out into the public arena. But I'm like, I really want to underline this and emphasize this. I'm a regular fucking dude. I'm a regular man. I have challenges every single day of my life in the octagon of marriage with my queen, in deep intimacy, in parenting. You know, as the world changes, as my wife's knowledge of her authentic truth changes, as my kids develop. And man, that's a, like, my marriage before was challenging. I would actually say it's almost even more challenging now, because when you raise the standards, there's no fucking going back. So as I get into that bat and my mind goes, hey, will I just listen to some music, or will I put on something that can support me finding the next edge in my marriage, the next edge in my capacity as a man, you know, to show up psychologically resilient and powerful and transformative and deeply influential in relating with my wife and beyond. Man, I want to fucking know that shit. I don't ever want to rest on my laurels. But when you listen in here, you're doing the exact same thing. So I really want you to sort of feel, it's like, I ain't no fucking celebrity. Yeah, I'm, my whole life's purpose and my outside of the family home purpose is to, you know, create this movement where 100,000 men in the next 4.5 years are going to be members of Heroic Husband Men's Circles around the planet. There's going to be 10 million husbands listening in every single week. That's part of it. And I'm like unfucking stoppably going towards that. So yeah, there mightn't be a direct relationship with that part in your life. But when I listen to it and I'm having my bath, that's like, you're doing the same here. You're the exact same as me, man. Now, the thing is, you and I and every single man listening in, you're deserving of absolute divine love, divine acceptance of the man you are, and you're fucking awesome as you are. You don't need to do another thing to be more deserving of love and acceptance. Yet it's also true, and I want to be really direct with this, the more times I'm getting on and speaking with guys and hearing what's going on behind the scenes, is every single one of you have great intentions. But when you, great intentions, we need to be black and white with this and get fucking like really uncomfortably honest with ourselves individually and collectively as a movement. And look and go, if the results that are showing up, you know, repeated arguments, tension, sex life, intimacy, it's like, you know, it's just nowhere near where it could be if it is happening. And a lot of times it's just not happening much, if any, at all. And when it does happen, it's not so nice. And like, you know, if in conversations and intimacy, and if there's a lot of experiences out there, they're just not really, you know, ideal. It's nowhere near where you'd like it to be. But I want to emphasize, and it's like, get a loudspeaker. So I want every one of you to hear this. If you feel it's not just so satisfying for you, but you have this masculine capacity that 90% of men have, I had before, and I drove my wife to falling in love with another man because I was minimizing and normalizing and hyper-rationalizing where our marriage was at in my head to make it. I was sugarcoating it, and it's like, it's not so bad, you know, like I'm doing a lot of good shit, and she doesn't recognize the shit I do, but like we'll get there eventually. You can do that as a man. You can lone wolf in the, you can sedate the pain of really fucking looking at your marriage and seeing it for what it is. You can do that, dude. And if you want to, that's okay. But your marriage, in most marriages, when I'm listening to guys and hearing the behind the scenes story, so many are walking along a cliff edge. It's like divorce is almost inevitable. And the worst thing, worse than divorce, is unhappily ever fucking after is there. Yeah, loyalty, or just like being ashamed of fucking divorcing. You don't want the public, you know, just to know that, like, both sides, it can happen a lot of times. Most marriages, most men are showing up in a way that is like, it's sort of inevitable that it's the doom and gloom future is there, and it's there to stay unless you radically change. The 3 points today that I got from the TED Talk with John Gottman, there's tons of nuances and some of his research findings that I will share, and they were new to me, and I'm just like, yeah, I feel really empowered. What was very fucking validating for me and for the movement within Heroic Husbands men's circles and that approach is what we're actually doing lines up perfectly with like his 30 or 40 years of research in what works best. I'm going to give it in the words predominantly of what John Gottman uses, like his three phases, but I'm going to also just build the tan, draw the comparisons in how Heroic Husband's approach is doing the exact same thing. So, you know, if you're listening into the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast, you're going to hear different language, but it all lines up. There's three key areas where, and of course, marriages that are dysfunctional aren't getting the results that you want. It's like the marriage entity, how both people are relating together, it's lacking. But here at Be the Husband She Brags About, we talk about 100% extreme ownership again. 50-50, fuck that. It's a bullshit paradigm. 100%, 100% responsibility. Your queen's 100%, guys. Hack it out of your fucking head, man. You can't control how she thinks, how she speaks, and how she behaves. You can't influence that till you take extreme ownership for how you're thinking, how you're speaking, and how you're behaving. And there, then, from the power of positive influence, it's like this universal law that when you actually lead by example, naturally, there's the safe environment where she will start taking ownership. But you got to fucking lead. So we talk about our 100% only. The three major lacks in how you and myself in the past, and man, I still need to tweak this. I do these episodes, you know, if you want to master something, teach it. I really reflect on a deep level. I'm at no perfect level in any of these. But there's three key areas that Gottman's research shows, and Heroic Husbands, we have it like integrated within the culture, and the incredible results that are coming through really back it up. The first major lack is in physiological calm. John Gottman, in his research of like tens of thousands of couples, one pillar that he has noted down the years where, you know, when he compared struggling couples, couples that ended up getting divorced, etc., versus couples that are happy, is couples that are happy, there's this capacity to remain physiologically calm. There's a calmness there. In Heroic Husbands, we talk about presence. The presence practice, I've spoken before, the five pillars of presence. Physiological calm. And what Gottman has found is, you know, in moments of conflict, all his research was done in like in in moments of conflict, one of the most important places that he found was a predictor of the happiness or the lack of happiness, the staying together or the inevitability of divorce, was how people are in conflict. Because, you know, how you do in the bad times will dictate how many good times you're going to have. Couples that were really happy, they remained physiologically calm in moments of conflict. They were able to access a way of being gentle with each other. You know, where even in conflict and there's a difference of opinions and they're working through some really important topics, that there's a split in values or perspectives, etc., etc., he found that happy couples were still able to be gentle. They were reassuring each other. They were humorous. They were considerate of the other person's perspective, etc., etc. There was a physiological calm. He did a lot of research to literally, you know, tap in what the breath, what their breathing pattern was, what their blood pressure, heart rate was, etc., etc. He took physiological in the laboratory markings of this. And what they found is when people are calm, they can take in information. They're able to listen. They're able to empathize. You can access humor. And this all supports that physiological calm in the middle of conflict. It supports understanding. It supports connection. Okay, there's a difference of opinions, but these people that had really beautiful, happy, thriving marriages had teamwork in the middle of it all. But it was the physiological calm. When tested, their breathing remained calm, their heart rate remained calm. They had a perspective of, okay, there's a difference of opinions here, but we're going to remain connected and let's just remain calm in it. Instead, and this is what I see in the vast majority of men that jump on one-on-one discovery calls with me, the guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, one-on-one work, you know, it's been years in open-hearted sharings, hearing behind the scenes, and definitely my own life, I was definitely not physiologically calm at all in moments of conflict with my queen. It was like my heart rate was popping. I'm quite sure if you check my blood pressure, my breathing would have quickened to the point at which I'd get what is technically known as being flooded, where it's like there's so much sort of physiological arousal going on that it's like the only thing that's left is fight flight mode. It's that stress mode where it's like attack or defend in relationship with your loved one. That's what happens when you're flooded with physiological arousal. There's no calm there. So if you're just in attack and defend mode, when you're in attacker and defend mode, you don't have it available to your nervous system to actually slow down and go, okay, I have my perspective, but your heart rate is down, you're breathing slowly and deeply. Only from that physiological calm can you go, cool, okay, just hold my horses there for a second. Let's get curious about my queen. Let's empathize. Let's feel into where she's truly at. That's literally not available. And you can't take in information when you're in fight or flight mode, you're in attack or defend mode. You literally, your queen could be telling you stuff and you just can't process that. So you can't repeat it back. And what you say in response to everything she's saying to you, your response will demonstrate to her that you're just not listening. And you're just trying to attack with your truth without any listening of hers. So a lack of physiological calm, which is indicative of, pretty much represents 99.9% of guys I'm listening to, you know, where you can get from that physiological arousal, you can get super argumentative, you can shout, you can call names, or you can stonewall or everything in between. But it's just nothing, none of it's conducive to forming connection. In Heroic Husbands, we deal with that where it's like at the very first moment you notice the signs of heart closure. We have a mental checklist. I've spoken this in the podcast before, but there's a mental checklist of the five pillars of heart closure, your five signs of heart closure, and it's like it's two sides of the one coin. It's the five pillars of presence is the flip side. But once the guys, their practice is, once they recognize one of the five pillars, the five signs of heart closure, it's go time. You shut the fuck up and you start deep, slow breathing. Because why? You know, if physiological arousal is predictive of nothing but, you know, mental and emotional and psychological disconnection between yourself and your queen, well, speaking from physiological arousal, when your nervous system, as indicated by practice, is easier, you can't have like a heart rate monitor on yourself or a blood pressure, but you can touch base with where your breathing is at. But if speaking from high physiological arousal is indicative of disconnection, is like predictive of disconnection, you know, this is the bit where guys, you know, the rational-minded part, the vast majority of guys are rational-minded. And I want to bring this into, like, the culture here. So, you know, if you claim that you're rational-minded, well, again, I've spoken this before, but when have you ever spoken to your queen in moments of heart closure, in moments of, you know, conflict where there's a difference of opinion, where you're super amped up, there's a lot of tension, you know, your heart is racing, your voice is raised, or you're stonewalling, and then you speak. How often has it happened in the history of your entire marriage with your queen that you speak from that sort of a level of physiological arousal, and she has went, well, you know what, honey, it's just so valid what you're just after saying. You know, I receive it. It's funny how you just landed that in a dirty plate of physiological arousal that you have no awareness of, your voice is raised, you're breathing in an erratic manner, you know, your heart is fucking hopping out of your chest, which displays every single sign of your body subconsciously, your whole body language is emitting a message of, I'm fucking raging with you and I don't like you, woman, and I'm just out to prove you're wrong and I'm right. How often, man, has that worked? Has your woman went, oh, you're physiologically aroused, I'm so turned on by you, take me to the bedroom, take me, man, you're my king, and by the way, you're so fucking right. Never! Never once in the history of husbands with wives has a man ever, from high physiological arousal, fucking ripping with his queen, like with a unspoken intentionality of just make her fucking wrong. I'm right in what I'm saying, hence I'm so jacked up physiologically. She's so wrong that you landed from that space that she has went, oh, what a good point. You know, and she increases her levels of trust and connection with you. Never. Never. So the rational parted mind of you, I'm like, I'm just saying, man, challenge that rational mind to make a decision that if it has never happened, and I know if we're in a room and 1,000 guys there, we'd all be sort of laughing, going, yeah, never, nobody, everybody in the room is putting their hand up, sort of laughing together, going, man, collectively, it's fucking insane what we try to do, isn't it? And we all laugh. But my challenge is you, yeah, laugh, smile and go, man, I've been caught out again. It's like, fuck you, Mark. And it's like, yeah, that's my game. That's what happens. But I'm like, on a sincere level, if you want your marriage to turn around, you got to get rational and go, okay, let's get fucking binary on this. If it has never worked before, I've got to eliminate that. Because if it doesn't work, if you're truly like in touch with your rational head, if it doesn't work once, if it doesn't work ever, you've got to do whatever and be relentless in cutting that fucking response out. It is my direct masculine challenge to you. Guys, it's in my protective pattern, physiological arousal, but you got to choose a different way. What we do within Heroic Husbands Men circles is the guys shut the fuck up. Once they notice one or a number of heart closure symptoms in them, they shut the fuck up and they start breathing deeply. Because why? That brings physiological calm within a short few breaths. And if you just keep doing that for the first few minutes and like for the entirety of the conversation, you're breathing deep. The mirror neurons get triggered in your queen and she knows he's breathing deep. He's actually like breathing deep. After a few breaths breathing deep, your voice when you speak will be calmer. You'll be softer. Breathing deep opens up your heart brain and your gut brain. So now you're able to empathize with her. Now your physiology is coming more and more calm. And she's like, okay, she's still not agreeing with you. You've still to have the full entire conversation. But when you do that with immediate effect, it changes the entire course of that conversation. And man, here's the wonderful, miraculous thing that's available to every single one of you listening in, by the way. I don't give two fucks like how bad it has been up until today. I really don't care. I don't give a shit. Use no sympathy from me, man. You're ultimately responsible. I can empathize with the shit show that it might be in your inner world and outer world in your marriage. But the wonderful thing is, guys, don't lose sight of this. It takes one powerful conversation implementing what I'm talking about here, backed up with the next conversation and the next conversation, and you string together and you form a new pattern where this is what you're doing. You're not speaking from physiological arousal. You're going into deep, slow breathing. Man, you're queen. Your entire marriage and your future together will change rapidly. Point number two that Gottman was speaking to is trust. So the first pillar is establish physiological calm. The second is trust. But here's the thing. We all fucking know trust. It's like, yeah, you want to have trust. I think one of the major things in my life and speaking with guys around the world, it's one of the deepest unspoken, very often is unrecognized, but when you come into, you know, a men's circle or you speak with other powerful conscious men, it rapidly comes to the surface, touch base with you, that one of the deep yearnings as a husband in marriage is, man, would she just trust me? You know, I'm saying this thing, I wish she'd just listen and hear my perspective and fucking trust where I'm coming from. I'm a good man. I'm saying this deep down, I have a massive love for her. Yeah, I get fucking confused on how to bring my deep love through all my wounding and my protective patterns. And when I say it, it's just so frustrating, but I'm coming from so much love. I know from the inside I love this woman. It's just so frustrating that she doesn't trust me. She can't trust me how I'm speaking it. I get that, guys. You know, I want to reach out to you. Do you feel that? That you yearn that your woman would trust you, would trust your word? And there can be very often this feeling of hopelessness. Yeah, we can get surface level. We get frustrated and angry with her. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, why is she always pushing back against me? But on a deeper level, that anger, that frustration is hiding a deep sense of desperation and a deep sense of hopelessness of, I'm giving this my best. Everything that my nervous system thinks and tells me to say or tells me to do, that's my best. And I'm still not able to evoke a response from her that is trusting me, that is loving me, that is saying yes to me, that is wanting to come close. Does that show up in you? It's like if hopelessness, man, it's like it's there for the majority of guys. And some guys, they're like, no, I don't feel hopeless. Maybe you're just not in a position to actually admit to that, or a deep feeling of inadequacy or shame that you're not good enough as a man, as a communicator, that you're best, you're showing up with your best intentions, you're doing your best 10 out of 10, and it's just never good enough. We want that our best gets better results. Don't fucking cod yourself if you cannot admit to that. You go to the gym. You want to fucking, if you're there to lose weight, you want to see that the results are supporting your efforts, or your efforts are supporting the results coming in. If you're joining a business mastermind, man, you want more profits. Stop fucking saying that, oh, I'm 12 months in, I love the experience, it's so enriching, it's so this. If there's no fucking profits being built, you're not getting the results that your efforts deserve. We want our efforts to show results. So if your best efforts with the tools that are available to you are not getting the results, man, that's a deep suffering for you as a husband. And the great tragedy is that we're yearning for trust. We want trust to arrive out of nowhere. We feel entitled to it. So the inner child part is like, I'm entitled. Like, my mom just loved me. I learned love from, like, I learned feminine relating to masculine relating, mom to son, me. But that's an entitlement-based relationship paradigm. You were entitled to her breast milk. You were entitled to her love. The problem is we didn't get, sometimes literally, the breast milk, and we very often, in the vast majority of cases, we didn't get the type of love that we wanted, or it was tainted by sort of a covert narcissistic type thing because her needs were not being met by your dad, by society, etc., etc., and she projected them onto you, and it got fucking messy. And you bring all of that wounding subconsciously into your relationship. So you feel entitled to trust that if you speak something, you feel entitled that your wife should trust you. She should listen. She should see how right you are. She should see the validity in your arguments. But the dirty plate metaphor, don't forget that. I speak that, you know, in other episodes and one-on-one and in her husband's men circles. The dirty plate metaphor is, you know, you can have a 5-star meal, you can have a Michelin 3-star fucking 3-star Michelin chef, whatever the fuck like is the highest world class grading of food. You can have like the best of the best of the best of the world's chef prepare a beautiful meal for you, but if that gets served to you on a dirty plate that has shit on it, that has cat hair, that has rat footprints on it, you ain't gonna eat that fucking meal. That's the thing with trust. You feel entitled that she should receive your words, but if you don't have trust, if you don't have physiological calm, she's not going to receive your words. So trust, in you got to rip entitlement out of the game, guys. I felt entitled to trust, and I was like a boy bitch. I had boy bitch energy, as we call it within heroic husbands' men circles. It's like the inner child boy was like, "Oh, she should just trust me." I used to say to her, "It's like, why don't you just trust me?" Do you know what the ultimate answer was, guys? I wasn't fucking trustworthy. Ultimate truth. If your queen is not trusting you, I want you to receive this as spiritual medicine. It takes courage, spiritual courage, to get really honest with you. We talk in heroic husbands' men circles. I speak about it here in the podcast. It's the practice of heroic humility. The process of getting true with where you're truly, truly at. If your queen is not trusting you, it's because you've not been fucking trustworthy. Take it on the chin, my man. The truth hurts. If you're resisting that, if you're like, "Oh, but I'm trustworthy," and blah, 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 she's not trusting you, that's feedback. You can camp out in your entitlement arguments, in your, "But hold on, but you don't know me, Mark, and like you don't know the 47 great things I did yesterday and the 58 great things I did the day before and the 10 million things I've done the last 10 years, and she doesn't acknowledge me and she should trust me because I'm a good man." Cool. How's that fucking working out for you? If she's not trusting you, it's because you're not trustworthy. If you want to fight against that, again, it ain't a fucking cult here. Listen to a different podcast. If she's not trusting you, it's because you're not trustworthy. Now, what is trust? From John Gottman's research and his words, when there's mutual trust, it's when both partners maximize the benefit for both people. You will find that in moments of conflict, you know, I have yet to get a guy that has said any sort of different to this, is that in moments of conflict, it's like, what's your unspoken background intention? Is it sort of like really geared towards proving what you're saying and what you're thinking is right, and ultimately what she's saying is wrong? Every guy goes, "Yeah, man, that's it." Like, I'm just like, it's in the dogfight to right wrong. It's like, you know, insist more what I'm saying and insist more and argue and keep arguing with what she's saying. It's like, she might have a bit of a truth, but she's denying that she's saying I'm wrong, so I'm just going to keep fucking digging my heels in to prove I'm right. Trust is built when you start seeing the world through your partner's eyes too. You know, how does my wife see things in this situation? In heroic husbands, you know, when we do that first part where it's like, okay, I'm in heart closure, you take 100% extreme ownership of your perspective, I'm in heart closure, bring physiological calm, shut the fuck up and go within, start slow, deep breathing. So you're bringing that physiological calm. Now your nervous system is communicating, I'm rapidly getting calmer. She can feel that. Now she can feel a bit calmer. She can feel a bit more safe. The next part, John Gottman says, physiological calm, trust, in heroic husbands. The second part of our conscious communication practice is curiosity. Again, it's building trust. You don't speak your truth in heroic husbands. The practice is, don't speak your truth to lass. It's like you own where you're at first. Get physiologically calm. Where you're not physiologically calm, tell her. It's like, baby, my eyes are glancing to the side. That's a disconnection. That's a fear-based response. You bring it back to her. You say, I'm sorry for, you know, disconnecting. I'm fully with you. Safety, physiological calm. As you become aware of your heart closure, when you bring them back to facing her, to looking in the eyes, you're breathing deep, and you know, if you shift in that, you become aware, you're bringing more and more physiological calm. The trust is, what's your perspective, baby? And you can do that from a conscious perspective of, man, every single part of your nervous system might be screaming on the inside going, yeah, but she's wrong, this is invalid, here we go again, we've been here before, I've told her this before, she's never listened to me, blah, blah, blah. But you shut the fuck up and go, you know, again, shouting that shit out, making her wrong, going, what the fuck, are we here again? Like making, shaming her for speaking what she's speaking. Again, guys, I don't have to ask, like, how the fuck is that working for you? It's not. It's not. Trying to prove, like, only speaking to prove you're right, she's wrong. You're telling her, I'm a self-centered, unconscious son of a bitch that I'm only out for me. And most guys, I'm like, I don't say that to disrespect you and how your nervous system responds, guys. I don't want that. I know that you, like myself, I still have protective patterns that come through me. Don't get me fucking wrong here, guys. I still, my practice is this. It's a deep spiritual practice where when my queen and we get into conflict, man, the first wave a lot of the times is protective patterns. They're the deep subconscious patterns that, hey, they've got like 30, I'm 40 now, so they've got like 37, 38, 39 years of a head start being trained repeatedly into my nervous system. Hey, you know, it's like I'm 4 or 4.5 years doing deep, deep work to transform, to heal, to come into conscious triggering of presence pathways, but the old patterns have the upper hand at this time. So I'm not saying that you come across, you know, if I say, hey, man, you're coming across as an asshole, a self-centered asshole to her, I'm not saying you're a self-centered asshole. I'm saying your subconscious pathways are self-centered because, and I understand, I empathize, it's like I know you grew up in a profoundly sick society like I did, like every single man did, where, hey, it wasn't ideal. Even if your parents were together, man, the dynamics between them, you know, if you're really struggling in marriage, it's because what you learned in that environment, you know, all the beliefs you learned isn't so supportive. If you had the perfect parents that modeled, if you had a dad that modeled perfectly how to remain physiologically calm in the face of the feminized shitstorm, you would have been able to do that. Like, dad never, like, he was always there. He was always empathizing and he built trust. My dad built trust by, man, my mom could be going off the fucking walls, but he just remained calm, breathing with her, sitting with her, going, baby, I'm curious, tell me more. And my mom, it was like a miracle every single time when I grew up. It's like my mom was having a bad day, time in the month, whatever it was that was upsetting her, didn't matter. My dad could just sit with her and, man, he loved her so much and he was with her. He was curious and my mom, like, just trusted that man at the depths of his being. You wouldn't be fucking listening to this podcast, guys. If I had that growing up, I wouldn't be the podcast host here because I wouldn't have went through the pain and I'd be off doing another mission. Because I wouldn't have had to went through the spiritual fucking pain to reveal this sort of truth within me and to feel drawn to this mission if I didn't have the level of profound pain, spiritual pain in the octagon of marriage that drove me multiple times to feel subconsciously and it came to flood my conscious mind of just take my fucking life because the pain and suffering is too much. You and I wouldn't be here doing this dance if we didn't have deep spiritual pain growing up. The pain of witnessing deep disconnection between loved ones, between her mom or dad, mom or stepdad, whoever those key masculine, feminine, you know, modelers of spiritual reality were for you, you wouldn't be here if they did a good fucking job. Thing is, it's a great gift not having witnessed it, because spiritual pain drives spiritual realization. That's what we're doing here. But it's, you know, you're deserving of love, but it's simultaneously true that you can fucking spit out and vomit out your boy bitch energy and I'm entitled and you can blame your woman and you can do that to the point at which she'll divorce your ass. You'll divorce her. It'd be too much pain to go, but man, you're going to bring the exact same patterns into your next relationship if you have the balls to join another relationship, and you'll feel, well, I'm blaming my woman in the first one, so this one must be better than the first one, and 6 months in, you're like, it's worse than the first one. How is that? Because man, that's how your nervous system perceives reality. Trust is built in heroic husbands by getting curious. You listen. You shut the fuck up, you breathe deep, physiological calm, check, foundation in your nervous system. Number two is curiosity. Shut the fuck up, remain deep breathing and get deeply curious and listen. And I'm not saying guys listen, because I know every man that jumps on is like, how do you listen to your queen? It's like, oh, I listen. Man, I'm sick of listening to her actually. I listen to her that often. But then I go a step deeper. I'm like, okay, when you're listening to her, what's happening in your head? And some guys go, they laugh to get the point immediately. It's like, yeah, I'm just commenting in my head as I'm silent on the outside, but on the inside, I'm just fucking mentally forming my next argument. 99.999% of the time, you're not listening. Stopping moving your lips and tongue and having audible fucking perceivable sounds coming out of your mouth, your voice apparatus, is not listening. Getting curious is truly from physiological calm, listening and getting really curious, going, I've got my perspective and man, it feels really black and white in my mind at this moment. But I love this woman in front of me. I truly love her. I truly know her to be an intelligent woman. Man, guys, you might have a history of fucking like projectile vomiting judgments on her that she's irrational. But where trust is built, you need to change and go, I'm going to listen to her open-heartedly with a beginner's mindset, and I'm going to get to the root. I'm not going to stop listening until my curiosity is fulfilled and she feels seen, heard, and hey, my physiology is good, she's going to feel safe, she has shared her heart and soul with me, so she feels understood. Do you know what happens at that point? Most often the conversation has ended, because you feeling her understood, her feeling understood, she's gotten to whatever resolution is necessary. So physiological calm, John Gottman, happy relationships, they establish that, they're really good at that, they practice that. Trust is built. Get into your queen's shoes, get curious about her, imagine what's live with her. Show her and have your nervous system, practice having your nervous system line up and get curious that she has a reality, you have a reality, but you've got to prioritize understanding her first. Number three, Gottman spoke about commitment. I've done solo episodes just on the topic of commitment. The miraculous power of commitment. In Gottman's words, it's like, it's in the moment of your wife's heart closure. What I'd say to that is like, yeah, everything in Heroic Husbands is about that. Like, commitment is demonstrated, guys, in how you respond in the hard times. You know, commitment, you know, like, you'll see it in a sports star. It's like when they're winning and they're winning and they might win. Like, how do you judge a great team? When they've won and the next season, the standards and the, you know, expectations and the hunger of every other team and every other player in the league to fucking take the crown away from them, how do they respond? How do they respond when they lose two or three on the go? Because, hey, the standards of how people are meeting and battling them, is infinitely greater now. How did it respond to the loss? You will see who's truly committed in those times. A lot of teams, team sports, they win once, that's it, they're gone. A lot of people, individual sports, they somehow get the gold medal once and then they're gone. The truly committed ones, doesn't matter the losses. You'll see them in the losses. They come back stronger every single time. The Michael Jordans of the world, they come back stronger. Elon Musks of the world, great entrepreneurial spirits, social reformers, the Mahatma Gandhis, and I'm going to say heroic husbands like you. You've got to get to the point where your commitment is not an idea. Like the whole down on one knee, or like you do it in the church. And man, it's cool. Whatever style of getting married you did, man, I told you before, I did it outside of the church. But in that moment, commitment isn't a one-time phenomenon. It's so fucking easy, and it's challenging at the same time. I'm not saying, but like, a lot of guys sort of go, I'm committed to you. And like, ultimately, it's like, well, what does that mean? Well, I proposed to her. I was the one. And I went through with it. I was there. I was in the church. I exchanged those vows. And it's like, cool. Really good. You did the patriarchal emergent idea of let's make, loving connection a head-led, contract-bound sort of experience. Cool, you did that. That ain't worth fucking shit to your queen. And it ain't worth shit to your, to your new team, where the new sign-up is like, he signed up, he signed a contract, he's like fighting fit for the first 7 days. But where is the superstar when we've lost? Where is his leadership? Your commitment in any arena in life is determined by how you show up in the tough times. In the times when, man, the happy, fuzzy, warm memories of the day you got married, and in the leading up to it, when you felt so inspired and you're like, you took her to the creek, you took her on holiday, you're the romantic, I'm feeling good, I got engaged and, did the whole fucking thing. Man, have you noticed that the fuzzy, warm fucking memories of the past are more painful the further you go into it? Because it's like, I don't know how to retrace my footsteps and get back there. We yearn for the good old days when actually I could look at this woman first thing in the morning and feel fuzzy warmth. Now I don't feel anything but pain. In actual fact, I've just numbed it. I feel nothing. My only thing in the morning is get out and go to work, because, at work and other endeavors, I get meaning. I get connection with other human beings. This is fucking painful. Have you noticed that the further in you go, the more distance comes between you and those old fuzzy memories, and you don't know how to fucking come back? Yet that is determined by predominantly, this is why it's one of the pillars Gottman has found, like commitment. Thousands upon thousands of couples, happy couples, the men in those relationships, and yes, there's the queens as well, but we're talking about husbands here, heroic husbands, their practice is, when the times get hard, it's go time. Go time where, you might ask? Because most times, guys go, when the times get hard, it's like it's go time, but where are they going? I know myself in the past, I was going away from the feminine shitstorm. Same room, but man, have you noticed that when the feminine shitstorm is happening, it's like you're there having a conversation, but psychologically you're in la-la land, you're dissociating, you're stonewalling, or you're listening, but inside you're actually just arguing with her perspective, blah, blah, blah. You're pretending actually to listen, you're pretending to be in a conversation, but physically you're the far end of the room. You're not sitting beside her within arm's reach with like a hand supportively, just on her lap saying, baby, hey, we're having an argument, but I'm with you. We're in this together. Your nervous system is not saying, we're in this together. We're a team. We're going to get through this. It's like, I know. I'm going to eventually understand if it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes, or baby, it could be 5 months before I understand the depth of what's really happening for you. But I'm here, baby. Commitment, guys. Safe words. Deep embodied commitment. The vast majority were the far end of the room. The vast majority, every single thing we're message we're transmitting is a lack of commitment. John Gottman talks about in happy couples, there's a cherishing offer where people think, you know, this is my journey. You know, I'm being with this woman. What he sees, has seen time and time and time again in couples that just are not breaking out of the struggle pattern and are pretty much pointing inevitably to divorce, what Gottman has seen is betrayal. Now, betrayal, it's very easy to characterize betrayal as like you cheating your woman. It's like you fuck off. But there are early, invisible, unspoken signs of betrayal that I know myself, man, I was, I don't say guilty, like I was bad, but it's like, man, I was betraying my queen all the time in moments of conflict. Gottman was saying, says that betrayal is like making negative comparisons between real or imagined alternatives. You know, your woman, man, but like compared to my mate's wife, or, you know, some imagined part, like where you mightn't even define it, but it's like, man, she's such a bitch compared to, like, Jesus, if I had a woman that just could understand me, if she could just fuck up and listen to me, if she wasn't so wounded, if I had like some woman and like that had done some inner work, that had, like, you know, released some of her pain, it's like, it's, I'm not at fault. You know, if I had a woman that wasn't fucking abused and wasn't taking all that shit out in me, that wasn't divorced, these are things that my nervous system came through me so much. I was betraying my queen in front of me because I was hiding behind, she was divorced, my parents were, she's fearing abandonment, that's not on me, why the fuck am I? So I was constantly betraying her by comparing her subconsciously to some potentially perfect aspect of her that she wasn't reaching towards. It's like, man, if she just get over her shit, if she just go to therapy and fucking deal with her shit, wouldn't we be happier? I was betraying her expression in the moment and communicating to her subconsciously, you're incomplete. I can't love you as you show up. And I wish you'd be different, because if you were different, I could have an easier experience with you. I could love you if you were easier to fucking love. That's an ultimate betrayal. By the way, the cheating betrayal, Gottman was saying, is like, why do people ultimately cheat? They're lonely. Because if you're psychologically betraying your queen, psychologically in a moment of conflict, and constantly, you know, betraying her by comparing her or like judging her against some fictional ideal that she should be where she should be, and you could love her from there, or with some external, you know, real life person, man, that's super disconnecting, and she's not going to connect with you, she's not going to feel safe with you, and you're going to inevitably, and she's going to inevitably, like, internally at least, look to some other options and fantasize by some other options. But man, if that option comes up and hey, there's potential confidential environment where you can just have this connection with this other human being, man, that's a neurophysiological, psychological cocktail for disaster, where if you've been lonely and disconnected with your queen for long enough and herself with you, that's a potent negative environment where, you know, somebody else sees you, feels you, is understanding, is loving, smiles, wants to hear more about you. You don't want to be in that space. And betrayal, yeah, it leads to dissolution. It leads, Gottman saw that. Betrayal in those moments of conflict, it leads to divorce. So, guys, in Heroic Husbands, the entire culture is, and I want you to take this on, because the true masculine practice, if you're listening in here, I get this feedback. I love getting direct feedback. I question every single guy for a few minutes on all Heroic Husbands application calls. First few minutes, like, how long have you been listening to the podcast and what are you liking about it? What is it part of the message? a lot of the time it's like, man, it's just like that masculine part. It's just I feel better. I feel more empowered. I feel stronger. I feel like there's a sense of possibility. I love the extreme ownership. It's like what I'm wanting to believe, but I didn't know within my own mind how to access that. And as man, you just challenge. It's no bullshit challenge. You're humble. You're like no bullshit about your own challenges, but you're not afraid to just fucking be black and white and call me and every man out in your shit. That type of loving relating with this approach is shared like a thousandfold by the guys that are in heroic husbands men circles. They get that 3 times a month, that ferocious, loving, masculine, directional, calling out and bullshit, but ferocious love and acceptance, perfectly balanced. It's super intense. So the masculine core of you gets fucking turned on only you feel alive when you're marching towards the storm. There's two ways you can relieve the pressure in you from a storm. You can walk away and so far away from the center of the storm that you're outside where the wind can affect you. You can go so far away that you don't even know there's a storm, you're that far away. That's called fucking divorce. Now, hey, if with divorce, you're going to be relating with that woman anyway, but you get the point. I mean, there can be long-term pain as a result of that, but you can go so far away. You get the point. Jump out of the relationship, you decrease the suffering, you decrease the intensity. Semi stay in, semi committed. Oh, I'm so committed. Dude, getting up every morning, going to bed at night with the same woman, that ain't fucking commitment. You know, going to the gym is not commitment. Oh, I've been going to the gym the last 30 years and, like, man, look at you. You're fucking 30 stone weight. What the fuck are you doing in the gym? And then you look at what the dude is doing, you're like, well, any fucking wonder. 30 years in the gym doesn't do shit. 3 weeks in the gym where you're deeply committed, man, you fucking start seeing that your body and physiology will turn around. Three days, 3 weeks, 3 months in heroic husbands, men's circles, you fucking see what starts happening. True commitment. But heroic husbands, the entire culture, guys, and the entire culture here is step towards the storm. The second point of, and it's the only real point of masculine practice where you can feel simultaneously radically alive, intensely alive, because it's deeply emotionally stimulating. When you walk, your practice is, when there's conflict, it's fucking go time. I start marching towards the storm. Yes, physically it might be you're sitting still, but you're energetic. Your love is penetrating the storm of your woman's, your queen's challenges, her kickback, her rejection of your attempts of loving her up until that moment, and you're just sitting there absolutely still, but your love, your intentionality to connect is just working its way against a tsunami of kickback, working away, saying, I don't give a fuck off the tsunami, an avalanche, a fucking earthquake is in front of me. I will crawl, I will leap, I will fucking, if it's only my teeth that can move, that I dig my fucking teeth into the dirt, into the rock, I will keep moving forward. That's fucking commitment. Nothing else. And you will find that the Michael Jordans, the sports stars out there, the Conor McGregor on his way to the top, the men that we look at, I love Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, that is the embodied commitment. It was not easy, but they're men that we admire, their masculine core, their spiritual embodiment, Jesus, Buddha, because they were relentless. They were relentless in their practice of marching towards the storm, marching towards the most intense human experience, which was engaging with their greatest fears to birth infinite possibility of what to come into the world. Love, my friends. Why you're here. You're not going to fucking get this from a bullshit, profoundly sick society that says, hey man, the only fucking thing that you bring in work is productivity. Are you being productive 9 to 5? Are you producing economic fucking cog in a machine? With the setup that, man, it's nearly impossible to win financially in the same machine, that you have to sacrifice the greatest fucking years of health and natural vitality of your life at the behest to another fucking company, to another fucking, like, to running yourself ragged for other people's benefit, as your wife is getting the shitty end of the stick when you're fucking emptied. Your kids are getting the shitty end of the stick when you're, it's like, man, it's a sick fucking game. I'm saying that you will only feel alive when you orient your entire nervous system. Doesn't fucking matter that you didn't know that this is the game. It doesn't matter if, like me, if, like every man that has had the present day courage to join Heroic Husbands men's circles and start doing this profound work, or sign up for one-on-one coaching me with me or with somebody fucking else, it doesn't matter what your perspective was. If you were running like a boy, sort of from the outskirts, going, yeah, I'm sort of feeling the intensity of the storm. There's a light little bit of a breeze here. Oh, it's getting a bit more intense. She's feeling intense today. I'll step back from here and I'll sort of poke her with a stick from over here and I'll test her. And hopefully, if I stonewall for long enough, if I increase the height of an intensity of my voice, maybe she shut up. Maybe she'll resentfully just back off. Oh, good, she's resentfully backed off. I'm safe again. Man, you're not fucking safe, because if your way of seeking relief is from that piss poor mediocre boy energy subconscious, I know you've got fucking wounds, but if that's the way you relate with your queen, where your only relief from the storm is by backing off, man, your marriage, I can tell you, is on a cliff edge. You're lucky. You're gonna be lucky if in a year's time you're banking on your queen having such low standards that she goes, yeah, I'm gonna tolerate another fucking year with this dude. If that's your way of orientation with the feminine shitstorm. The way of liberating yourself, of feeling intensely alive, is that when the shitstorm comes, it's fucking go time. Men in Heroic Husbands men's circles, I'm slowing down to emphasize this, guys, because we gotta fucking hear it. This is a reminder for me. Can you feel my energy as I shift into this mode? My entire nervous system is like, it's fucking go time. I'm calling upon this spiritual power in me to speak this. I don't embody this to perfection. I mean, I look at the likes and I just imagine, I don't follow. I've spoken to this before. I don't go to Sunday Mass. I've actually disconnected from Christianity as the religious organization. And like, if man, if you find your peace there, your inspiration there, I'm really, really profoundly happy for you. I don't, but I've never been more inspired by Jesus Christ. Think about it, human being. I like relating with him as a human being, and I believe he was speaking from there. I think a lot of his story has been bastardized. That's just my opinion. But I see him as a human being on a cross with the intensity of his human life coming to an end. He knows it. Literally fucking nailed in. And he finds in the intensity of that experience, he is so committed to walking towards this feminine shitstorm of his life's experience that he can still muster a perspective and go, forgive them. They know not what they do. What type of a fucking embodiment of love did was he saying is available? I'm the son of God, you're children of God. He was saying, you've got the exact fucking same in you. Man, if you don't believe that, if your ways, I know I disconnected from a lot of Christian teachers because they were really uncomfortable when I questioned them on that. They were like, no, well, he wasn't literally saying. People got embarrassed. My priest at school was like, oh, but not really. My teachers were like, they shut down. I've been a spiritual explorer from the get-go, but it didn't satisfy me because I saw an embodiment in Jesus where I'm like, man, that he was saying, that's available to me. But he went to the desert for 40 days, 40 nights to meet with the devil. It was like facing the feminine shitstorm inside of himself and rendering it obsolete because he attacked it so much that he got to the point where, man, I'm fucking perfectly still and present, and with whatever comes up in my mind, I'm fucking good. They're the words I feel Jesus, what he did in the desert. You might have different interpretations. I'm cool with that. If you feel upset that I'm speaking to this man, I don't like whatever. You're upset is that's on your terms. But at the same, he attacked his inner world under the fucking tree. Yeah, sitting, it can be very easy to say, sitting on a fucking meditation cushion under a tree. Well done, man. He wasn't married, didn't have kids. But it's like he was attacking the storm. He was like, I'm going to sit down, and the discomfort, the dis-ease, the devil in my nervous system, my fears, my doubts, I'm going to sit with them. I'm going to hold my conscious presence open to every single experience that comes through my nervous system to the point as which I conquer this. Great masculine practice, guys, is committing to fucking facing the feminine shitstorm. You might sit still. You might march forward and hug her and kiss her in her time of need, whatever it is, but psychologically, you're penetrating, you're psychologically moving towards that storm. Fearless. Not that you're without fear, but you fear less than your desire to love. Your human right, your human birthright to be a messenger of divine love. To transmit love no matter what the external world is doing, which includes your queen. You will establish your right. And when you're in heart closure, when she's in heart closure, that's your go time to fucking prove how committed you are to transmitting love. If you want to back off, cool man. But if you back off repeatedly, your marriage is going to be in a shitter. Whether you stay together or not, whether you divorce, it's worse to fucking stay in a marital shitter than to divorce, I reckon. I lived in a marriage shitter for long enough to know, man, that's just not becoming a human experience when the levels of connection are available. So commitment, John Gottman was speaking to. As I say, heroic husbands, we got it fucking nailed. I am so happy that a badass spiritual adventurer and explorer like John Gottman, who has committed, I said, I think 2 or 3 decades earlier on, I think it's more like 5 decades of incredible research to come up with the 3 pillars, physiological calm, trust, and embodied commitment, are the predictors of a happy, thriving couple together. Coming into landing, get real with yourself with where you're at. If you're not getting the results in your marriage, guys, your physiological calm, your capacity, your skill set, your practice at bringing that forward is not yet there. That's okay. Your capacity with trust. Are you curious about it, or are you only coming from right wrong paradigm? Most guys are right wrong, stuck in that nervous system orientation. And the commitment, man, the commitment. Are you comparing her with some other fucking fictional thing and not loving her, not marching towards the storm in embodied commitment, where your sort of commitment and the intensity comes on, you're backing off and hoping it'll just fucking peter out. It'll be better again tomorrow when we can just do small talk at the breakfast table and get on with our lives. It's fucking bullshit. If you want a happy, fulfilling, amazing marriage, lacking physiological calm, lacking trust, lacking commitment, it's fucking bullshit. It's mediocre bullshit. You gotta call yourself out. Man, I ripped my fucking arrogance apart 3 or 4 years ago. The guys in the Heroic Husbands men's circles with profound love, with profound acceptance. We love bomb each other. Every man love bombs each other. Every single call, and there's messages and calls. The guys love it. And from that depth of love, man, the culture is to challenge mediocrity, to root that shit out. I want you to get real with yourselves, guys, because you know, you can listen in and go, yeah, but you know, it's not ideal. But if it's anywhere near not ideal, your marriage is in danger. I want you to know that. I want you to accept that. I want you to have the courage. And I really am wanting to see more and more of you to experience the type of results that are available within Heroic Husbands men's circles. As I'm saying, it lines perfectly with the best end 5 decades of scientific research, the entire culture, and we do it in a way of intense challenge and intense masculine love and support that is not being done on the planet. I'm like, it's preparing it to that fucking level. I'm going to read out another one of the amazing, beautiful testimonials that came true. So you don't take it my word from it. This is from the word of one more regular guy that has practiced a regular courage to set up a an introductory call, an application call, and has come true. And it's like within 4 months. This comes from Ty Humphries, fucking badass king that's in Heroic Husbands Men's Circle number one. His testimony goes like this, guys. I joined to improve my marriage, but the ultimate gains are in my personal domain. Mark has given me tools to take control of my life, which has done beautiful things in my marriage. The brotherhood is the most valuable thing about the circle. It's like a life mastermind. I have a network I can call throughout my day or week to challenge and empower me to best practices. Like a black belt master, Mark has prepared a dojo where I am grappling with my shadow and becoming a fucking badass king off this earth. This is the jiu-jitsu mat of your deep soul. This is an investment in yourself that you will never regret. I know Ty regularly listens in, man. Total love, bows, like the deepest honoring Ty for thank you for your testimonial, but like full acknowledgement. That testimonial is off the back of Ty learning to orient into radical embodied commitment, to doing everything that's necessary to show up trustworthy in front of his queen and to man in the face of profound protective patterns in his nervous system, like every man comes in with, learning to breathe deep, learning to set his self into physiological calm. You can hear the depth of impact that it's having for a regular guy like Ty, who, as a result of doing irregular work in an irregular space where your challenge, every single thing aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. What would that type of experience, what would your version of that be? If you committed now and said, man, there's one window to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles in the next 3 or 4 months, that's happening in early November. My question to you, man, is like whatever struggles you're having in your inner world, in the marriage octagon, in your intimate life, whatever outer challenges that that is bringing up for you, what if you committed today and you just took a fucking chance like Ty did? Ty did that 4.5 months ago. What if you just went, well, if it's good enough for Ty and Ty is having that sort of an experience, what the fuck could happen for you, man? If you practice like 10 seconds of insane kingly courage and you went, you like got in the link, you put in your application, you got in the call, and hey, man, if you line up, you got yourself in the beginning of November and you ended 2023 rapidly seeing in extraordinary results show up in your intimate life, in your communication, your queen looking at you going, man, I'm fucking seeing nothing but a future of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 fucking decades ahead with you as my king. How would that change your daily lived experience as a husband, as a lover, as a king? As a man, how would you look? How would your experience of looking the man in the mirror? How would that experience change? Would you knowing, with radical growing confidence of, man, I'm here, I'm alive, and my best efforts are now getting me the results I've always fucking yearned. I'm doing the right things with my intentionality that was always there, but I have the support, the accountability, the backup to make this shit happen. And man, when I sort of back off unwittingly, I've got supportive men that are going to challenge me and say, man, get back to that fucking storm, brother. Prove to yourself there's infinitely more power, infinitely more love available, man. I believe in you. We all believe in you. Get back in the arena, dude. What would that level of support, that level of challenge, that level of masculine love and acceptance off you? In an exceptional environment, the dojo of the soul, as Ty calls it. What would that do for you as a man, for your marriage? It would transform fucking everything, my friend. But myself, Ty, none of the guys that are in there can make you make that call. That's for you. 10 seconds. Get your application in now. Do not miss out on the next available, the only available opening, which is coming up the beginning of November. Make that application, make it immediately. Coming into landing, guys. This is power packed. I fucking loved every single second of it. And whether I ever get to meet you, get to know your first name in person, online, one on one in the circles, I love you, man. You're deserving of love. You're deserving of acceptance. But above everything, you're deserving of amazing, extraordinary, one in a million type experiences as a man walking on this earth every single day in your marriage, in your deep intimacy, in your parenting, in your inner world emotions. You're deserving of all of that and more, man. It's your fucking birthright. In perfect alignment with the mantra of our movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. Heads up, kings! Don't miss the only opportunity left to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles in 2023. Go from feeling that your best will never be good enough to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Applications for the last intake of new members in 2023 are open until November 3rd. Apply to join by clicking the link in the podcast episode description. There are limited spaces available, so don't miss out by applying to join now.